Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Our first hymn this morning is hymn number 1, hymn number 1. We sing the first and last verse of this hymn, hymn number 1. So let us sing.
To God be the glory, great things he has done, so loved he the world that he gave us his son. Who yield his life and the atonement for sin, and open the life that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh,
you pray, how long
Let us pray. And Father, we are indeed thankful unto you for sparing our lives and allowing us to wake up again this morning to see a new day, to be able to congregate here at this place to worship, conduct a worship service to you. Pray that each one that have attended the service, attended for none other purpose than to worship you than in spirit and in truth. We are so thankful that we have a place whereby we can come together to carry out such services as this. We pray, Father, that we will continue to strive to be able to do so as the time go by, and you allow us to be able to remain here on the face of the earth. And at this time, Father, we want to be specialists, want to be thankful for those that have been among us that are unable to be here, our sister, our brother Wiley and sister Shirley, and all those that are able to come back and be with us. Just thankful that you bless them to be, give them opportunity to be able to do so. At this time, may your blessing be upon the one, the two that are mentioned here this morning that are been placed in hospice, our sister Bobby, Abney, and also brother Nix. Bless their family members and comfort them in a time of need. May they also be comforted also. Whatever we're able to do at this time to help comfort them and the family members the way we do so. And Father, there are others that are here that are dealing with the medical issues, unable to be with us. Be with each one of them, and may they also be confident in a time of need, and may we be able to also encourage them to carry on. We realize in this life, living in this physical body, that's what we're going to have to be encountered with, all the physical illnesses, and we just thankful that we can depend on you, and may we strive to be able to do the thing that would be pleasing to you. And while we are yet here on this face, on this side of life, thankful, Father, that we are able to be in a country whereby we can come together for such occasion. At this time, may your blessing continue to be upon the leaders of the congregation and all of the members. May we be supportive in the things that we are trying to do here, and may everything work out according to your will. And as Brother Skippy stand before us this morning and present the message, may we listen attentively to it and apply the things to our lives to help us to be better servants of yours. Be with us always, Father, when we come together to carry out this this service unto you, and may we always strive to do the things that would be pleasing to you. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
Prepare mind for the taking of the Lord's Supper this morning. If you would please, hymn number 543, 543. We'll sing the first and last verse of this hymn, 543. Let us sing.
God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. Because I know.
time now to clear our minds and understand why we gather around this table. Right now, we are getting ready to remember our Lord's death, his burial, and his resurrection. His body that was broken and beaten, his blood that was sacrificed on our behalf, and then to rise to new life, that we might be able to have salvation. Clear your minds. Reflect upon these thoughts. And let's bow in prayer and thank him for our blessings. Father, we thank you that we're able to gather around this table. We thank you that we're able to do it each first day of the week, that we may reflect upon the love that your Son gave us. Father, he didn't need to go to the cross for us. He didn't even need to come down from heaven to face the cruelty that he faced for us. Father, we thank you that he loved us so much, that he was willing to go through the pain and the punishment that was meant for us. Father, we thank you now that we're able to remember him each day, each first day of the week. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Let's continue. Dear Father, as we take of this, the fruit of the vine, we think back to the cross and the shedding of Christ's blood, that we may have life, that our spirit may live eternally with you. Pray, dear Father, that as we take of this cup, that our focus will be there and it will continue to be with us every day, that we may remember the importance of this great sacrifice. For we ask it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Is there anyone that's been inadvertently overlooked? If you have at this point, at this time, if you would raise your hand, we will promptly serve you. I see no hands being raised. So now we will go on to the giving portion of the what we're doing this morning. The reason that we give, we show a portion of the love that God has given to us. It's a small portion, but as we do so, we show Him that this is what we think about when we go to give to Him. We show our love to Him. We do what we can to expand the kingdom. The works of the church is a vital part, not only to what we do this morning, but to what we do in the community, evangelizing and telling others of God's saving grace. At this time, we ask that you look further into your wallet and look more into your heart and see what there is that you can give to our Lord who showed you so much love. Let's bow in prayer and thank Him. Father, we thank you that we're able to gather this morning. We ask that as we do so, we look into our hearts and we give you the love that we have in our hearts right now. We ask that as we do so, we do it cheerfully, respectfully, and knowing that there are so many out there that need to hear your word. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
With me, about the hymn book to hymn number 10 in the supplemental hymn book, hymn number 10 in the supplemental hymn book to the song of invitation this morning. Number 10 in the supplemental hymn book. And after marking that hymn, if you would please turn over to hymn number 717. That's 717. We will sing the first and last verse of this hymn, 717. And let us sing.
Oh, the blessed rock of ages, rock of ages, blessed rock, sing now, dear Lord, indeed, we are God. Keep me till my journey, this journey, this is keep me till that blessed place I see. Beyond the blue.
This morning's sermon title is Jesus is the Cure for Our Issues. Again, that is Jesus is the Cure for Our Issues. The scripture reading is Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 28. That's Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 28. I'll be reading from the King James translation of the Bible. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in, pressed behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, Brother Norman.
Good morning. Truly, God has once again been good to us. He has blessed us to be able to assemble ourselves together this morning, and we pray that we come with no other purpose than to worship God in spirit and in truth. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know that you are a guest. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. O wise, eternal Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you for this day, and Lord, for your blessings and this opportunity you've given us once again to assemble ourselves together this morning. We just thank you for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now, Father, as we're about to look into your word, that we focus upon your word, Lord, and the things that it has to say to us, and the things that we're faced with from day to day. And Lord, we just pray at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of. Lord, you give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me your word, the things that I say, Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus is the cure for our issues. We all have issues in life. What is an issue? Well, the Greek word for issues, it means a flowing. Issues in our lives, such as fear, anger, bitterness, it flows from a source in our past experience or from our beliefs. And until we deal with the source of these issues, then they will continually to flow throughout our lives. And when this happens, we go through the same frustrating pattern of behavior over and over again. An issue is a condition, an attitude, a circumstance that robs us of the abundant life that Jesus has secured for us. Issues are those private, secret things of our past and present that show up to hinder and block and trouble and even destroy our dreams, our hopes, and our desires. Issues are the challenges, the problems, the crises that attack themselves, and they attract themselves to us and to block our success, to block our victory and the effectiveness in the kingdom of God. Issues shows up without invitation. They're like a flat tire on a car. It's frustrating, time-consuming, and it's costly. And while we point accusing fingers at someone else, we overlook the fact that we are lugging around the heavy baggage of our own issues. See, not everything that happens in our lives is an issue. Nor do we have to make an issue out of everything. Circumstances don't become issues until they appear repeatedly in our lives. But how do illness and how do issues affect our lives? Well, let's look at it this morning. Number one, it can take up our time. When you look at the text, here's a woman who had an issue of blood, 12 years. Most health issues we deal with, they are short run, a cold lasts a few days, the flu may be a week or 10 days, but some injuries may take several months to rehab. Many of us are dealing with health issues this morning that is consuming our time, that we don't like to talk about, we don't like to hear about, and one of those issues is what they call cancer. One of the first thoughts that enters a person's mind who has been diagnosed with cancer is, why me? Will I survive this? What are the percentages of beating this? My father died when I was 19 years old of bone cancer. It changed my mother. It changed my brothers. It changed my sisters. And it changed my life. But then my life changed again in 2015 when I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. My life changed dramatically. Not only my life, but my life of my wife, my family, it changed. But God allowed me to go through robotic surgery. And I thank God that no cancer has been detected today. Some people, they wrongly blame God for their cancer. I had some to say to me, not you. You are a minister. What kind of God would allow his own spokesman to go through this terrible disease? And just for your information, God does not cause cancer. Living in a sin-filled world does. The fact that our bodies, they are subject to the many negative physical ailments and that exist in this world is part of that answer. But having faith in God can certainly make the cancer journey one filled with hope instead of despair. You see, my faith isn't about what I can get out of God, but it's based on more of letting God be God and trusting that he knows what's best for me. And herein lies the essence of faith. I wanted the big C, Christ, to conquer the little C, counselor. And that's what he did. But if he didn't, I still trusted him that he knew what was best for me. Some folk who deal with cancer can't handle it very well. They are in a grinding marathon. It's there every morning. It's there every evening for days, for weeks, for months, and for years. Plans are no longer made for vacations, social events, but days on the calendars are quickly filled with doctor's appointments and surgery dates and a whole regime of treatment plans and outpatient treatment and inpatient treatment and surgeries and recoveries. Cancer never just affects one person, but it challenges its pain, its presence affects so many. The diagnosis of cancer of any kind, it put life in a much different perspective. If you, a little loved one, has received a diagnosis like this, you know exactly what I'm talking about this morning. But here's the thing. How you respond to the trials that you encounter in life will be based on your relationship with God. Some will turn to God, but then there are some who will turn away from God. But then, secondly, it can cause separation. Here is a woman who was separated and alone day after day, month after month, year after year, with no physical contact from another human being. Her very presence caused some who knew her condition to shun in order to avoid their own contamination. The woman is religiously unclean, and anyone who touched her would be considered unclean. But I want you to know, just like this woman, our issue keeps us separated from God and from people. We try to keep them to ourselves and maybe even try to hide them like everything is okay when it's not. Some become depressed. They don't feel like they're being loved and like they used to be loved. Some things church should not be, but sometimes cancer brings a stigma. Her lost skin changing colors, and some cancer patients feel as if their condition is contagious. And the reason being is because we don't know what to do and we don't know what to say. Issues make us fear relationships, ministries, intimacy with God and others. But I'm glad that Jesus steps into every single one of these unimaginable situations and prove that he's more than capable of handling whatever happens in our lives. One truth that demonstrates itself over and over in the pages of the Bible is the truth that God is more than adequate for every situation that we face. There are no impossible situations with him. There are no hopeless predicaments with the Lord. Your situation is not hopeless. Your storm is not hopeless. Your sin is not hopeless. Your sickness is not hopeless. Your lost loved ones is not hopeless. Nothing is hopeless with the Lord.
But then we read on at the story. The story describes yet another hopeless situation when you look at verse 26. And has suffered many things of many physicians. In other words, she's saying, you know, I've tried everything. Nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Maybe some of us have that attitude today. And see what this is. This results in bondage. She suffered many things of many physicians. As we carry our issues with us year after year, we begin to adapt our lives to them. The woman with the issue of blood had limited her entire existence to the secret issue that plagued her. You see, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And our lives are only as effective as the issues we have resolved. Too often, we walk through life in a spiritual fear, allowing our issues to direct our path. But 1 John 4 and verse number 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. In other words, there is no room in love for fear. But then, it can touch your finances. Look at verse 26. And has spent all she had. Medical treatment are expensive. We know that. They are expensive, and even if you have good insurance, even the out-of-pocket expense can take a toll. She had invested all the little money she had in one false hope after another to rid herself of her plague, but to no avail. But then also, it can touch your strength. Look at the text. And was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Cancer patients know well that in facing the disease that they can get worse before they get better. The effects of chemotherapy and radiation can at times seem worse than the disease itself. But I want you to look closely. Look closely at this woman as she presses through the mob. Look at the suffering face she is trying so desperately to conceal from those around who would reject her in her pursuit of her own healing. And when you get close enough to discern her features, you'll find out that she looked just like me, and she looked just like you. All of us. All of us have secret issues that hinder us, and secret struggles that keep us barren and hidden and loaded down and consumes our strength. Issues like fear, issues like guilt and shame and hurt and failure and marital and financial and health issues. Church, it can drain. It can drain the abundant life out of us. We are the kind of people who don't want people to know our issues. We hide them, we keep them secret, and we try to overcome them ourselves, but we all need one another in this fight. We need each other. Yes, it's true that every man should bear his own burden, but the Bible also says, bear your one another's burden. And so fulfill the law of Christ. When you look at that word bear, the word bear means to lift. It literally or figuratively, it means to carry or take up. But regardless of the specific issues, all of us experience limitations in our walk with God. She finally realized that she could no longer live with the issue in her life. She had to act. She had to do something. And just like it was with this woman's issue, there's only one answer. There's only one way to deal with our issues. And here it is in verse 27 and 28. She reached out and touched this man, Jesus. Notice what she says in verse 26, and suffered many things, many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better but grew worse when she had heard of Jesus. Came in the press behind, touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She believed in Jesus. She wanted to get close to Jesus. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you believe in Jesus in such a way that you would press through to touch him? In the face of trauma, the Christian must learn to lean into Christ. Regardless of the outcome, the goal is to draw near to Jesus Christ. And as we travel the pathway of life, we are brought in contact with Jesus. We are here this morning, but we may all have different problems, different circumstances, different issues. And maybe it's not us. Maybe it's our loved one. But here's the truth. We all need Jesus. Every one of us sitting here this morning, we need Jesus in our lives. It's not enough just to know that we have issues. The knowledge alone is enough to depress us, and it becomes another issue itself. We must understand that we can be free of the issues that plagues us. John 8:36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. We must also understand that until our deliverance comes, the kingdom of God goes on in spite of our issues. Even with our limitations, even with our imperfections, we are somehow still useful to Almighty God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, and he said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Paul says, therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Finally, how can I find healing for my issues? Give you three things, and this lesson is yours. Number one, because when you look at Mark chapter 5, there are three principles that is followed if we're going to find healing, wholeness for our issues. Number one, exhaust. Exhaust. We must come to a point where our resources are exhausted, and we realize that we cannot heal ourselves. We often deal with the symptoms, but rarely with the root of the issue. That's because no issue has ever been settled by touching man. We must touch Jesus. If a man went to the hospital with an arrow in his chest, and the doctor doesn't just give him painkillers and send him to a seminar to learn how to manage life with an arrow in his chest. No, the only way to bring lasting healing is to turn him over to a skilled surgeon. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus is that physician, because only he can remove our issues that we're dealing with. And so you need to, number one, exhaust. The second thing I suggest to you is to expose. Our issues must be brought out in light in order to be healed. They will never miraculously vanish away on their own. In fact, they may be pushed aside. They may be denied, but they will always reappear until we bring them to Jesus. But then thirdly, the third thing is to expect. Expect. Expect what? The woman with the issue of blood risked everything on her faith in the ability of Jesus to restore her. And this required total trust. Issues that have been surrendered to the Lord will bring him glory. After all, if we could handle our own issues, who would get the credit? Think about it. We'll be wanting to get the credit. But this woman was desperate enough to reach out to Jesus. Are you desperate enough this morning to reach out to Jesus? Because, see, prior to her miracle, Jesus never talked to her, even touched her, because he was busy with a crowd. But her faith was so strong in him that just the touch of his clothes was enough. One day, we all going to have to face our end. All of us are going to have to face the issues that's going on in our lives right now. And when we are at the crossroad, all you got to do is just reach out. Reach out. And learn to say, as a songwriter wrote, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help that I know. Lord, it's you. Nobody else can cure my issues but you. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. I'm here to tell you this morning, that whatever you're going through this morning, Jesus is the cure for your issues. Turn them over to Jesus and see what he can do. You tried everything on your own, but failed. But turn it over to Jesus, because Jesus will not fail. If you're here this morning, not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you, Jesus is the answer. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life. Now it's up to us. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to give up? Jesus gave up so much. All he's wanting us to do is to obey him. You heard the word. Believe it to be true. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Repent of your sins. Luke 13:3-5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33. Then be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. When you come by that water, you're a new creature. In Christ Jesus, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But now you got somebody. You got somebody on your side. With whatever you're going through, he's right there. Because he said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. What are you dealing with tonight, this morning? Whatever you're dealing with, Jesus is the answer. Let us stand.
Would you bow with me? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. We're so thankful, Lord, that you blessed each and every one of us here, Father, with the desire and ability to get up out of our beds this morning, Father, and come together and worship thee in spirit and in truth on the first day of the week, Lord. We pray, Father, that all of the acts of worship were well-pleasing and acceptable unto thee, and were in accordance with thy will and thy word. Our Father, we're so thankful for the portion of thy word to us that was brought by our brother Norman this morning. Father, we know that we'll encounter a lot of issues in our life, Father, whether it's health issues or maybe family or friend issues or job issues or issues with other people, Father. We know that we'll encounter a lot of them in life, Lord, but we know that if we lean on to thee, not our own understanding or our own perceived ability to combat these issues, Father, but as long as we lean on thee, that you'll be able to take us through them, Father. And Lord, at this time, we're mindful of all those who are sick. We pray that, Father, however they're ailed, that you might be able to wrap your arms around them, Father, bless them, watch them, comfort them, Father, and their families at this time of need. Father, we're so thankful for all the many blessings of life that you've given each and every one of us, Father. We know that they're too numerous to count and contemplate. But we pray, Father, that we would always remember that all these things, they flow from thee, Lord. Father, at this time, as we're getting ready to depart this place here this morning, we pray, Father, that you'd forgive us of our sins and shortcomings, Father, as we do our best to repent of those things and turn away from them and not do them anymore. We pray that you would continue to wrap your arms around each and every one of us, Father, that you would bless us, that you would guide us, that you would continue to lead us, Father. We also pray that you would bless us all to be back here at our next appointed time, Father, and we ask these and all things in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.